Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning. It is the second Sunday of Advent, and we welcome you to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
I'm very well. And how about yourself?
Doing very well. Thank you. Glad to be here with you for another edition of Our Shepherd's View. We have a gospel this morning that many will recognize from St. Mark. So, Bishop, if you would please proclaim that for us now.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. John the Baptist appeared in the desert, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People from the whole Judean countryside and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He fed on locusts and wild honey. And this is what he proclaimed: One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The imagery of the desert in this gospel makes us think of vastness and dryness, desolation, even uncertainty. And here is where we find John the Baptist dressed in camel's hair and living on locusts and wild honey.
Well, I think, you know, these are metaphors, I think, for our present day, kind of continuing from our talk last week in the first Sunday of Advent. But there are times, as of now, we live in a desert. We have our own deserts, our days of emptiness, our days of darkness, our days of loneliness, harshness. We have these days. I mean, the desert is our life, part of our life. I won't say it's all of our life because our life is both. I mean, there's also paradise moments in which are so beautiful. But the Lord also provides for us moments of desert to kind of re-look and re-expect things to happen. So we have in the second Sunday of Advent, in our time of waiting, being alert, preparing ourselves, we have the image of the person of John the Baptist, who is that voice crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. That's a call to us today. Right. Again, as I said last week, to who am I? So it's a wake-up call. Who are you? Because if we don't define ourselves, if we don't define what we are for, and more so than what we're against, in other words, positively, what am I for? What do I believe? What do I want? What do I hope for? What is my greatest desire? And what is my greatest love? These are the things that are part of our human dignity, to expect these things, to long for these things. If all I see is what's wrong, then I live in the desert. I'm going to live in the desert. I continue to perpetuate the desert of life. We're people of hope, and we cannot let the desert snuff out the hope. We have to be people of hope, and that's why sometimes we're sent into the desert to wake us up that we need to re-enliven our hope. And so John the Baptist was proclaiming a baptism of repentance. In the desert, we are called to let go of those things that that create our desert. And that's where a self-examination and the great Greek philosophers, you know, an unexamined life is not worth living. can't live your life if you don't know yourself, if you don't examine yourself, if you don't examine your own faults and your own sins and confess them, not just the little picky sins, you know, I disobeyed my mother and I did these, you know, as we did as children, we all, those are sins. But the desert calls forth a deeper self-knowledge of who I am. And so John the Baptist was proclaiming that almost as if saying, do you want to live in the desert the rest of your life? And the people from the countryside, the more lush, beautiful part, were coming into the desert to be baptized and to acknowledge. I love that part. They came and they acknowledged their sin. This is something for Advent, preparing for Christmas, I think is very important for us. And in the situation that we're in, let's take a moment, as we talked about last time, to rely on the Lord, to really get to know who we are in His presence. But in this second Sunday, it's let's acknowledge our sins. Let's not hide them. Let's not cover them up. Let's not glory in them or inflict them on other people. But let's acknowledge them with all simplicity and humility and openness, transparency. Let's acknowledge our own sins. John then is described there as, in, you know, as a way I wouldn't want to live, with the locusts and the wild honey. And the, well, I wouldn't mind the wine, wild honey, but it's a stark image. But listen to what he said, one mightier. You see, if John had been out there in king's robes and rings and all these kind of luxurious kind of adornment, people would have thought, well, here's the one. But he looked pitiful. He spoke the message, but he wasn't attracting people to himself. And so he said, one mightier is coming after me, and I'm not worthy to even touch his feet. I baptize you with water, but I think this is the key for this week, as I said, to be people of hope. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Those of us who are baptized have the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God is a spirit of hope. It's a spirit of love. It's the spirit that gives faith and all the other gifts and fruits that come from the Holy Spirit. How can we live and perpetuate our own desert by our anxiety, by our fear? This is a time to hope, to look up, raise your head, and look not just at the day of Christmas, but at what Christmas provides for us. Christmas provides us a Savior. Christmas provides us a person who has spoken to us in such simple, simple language, but language that can revolutionize every person's life. This is what hope is all about, and this is what brings us out of the desert.
I was very struck by what you said about how we sometimes perpetuate the desert in our own lives. We find ourselves in areas of vastness or desolation emotionally, spiritually. And as you said, we sometimes perpetuate that desert mentality with the choices that we make and the attitudes that we carry. But the desert also offers us a way to clear our minds and hearts, and we can be free from distraction and that kind of surrounding. But we need to be led by hope, as you said, much like the desert areas in the Holy Land.
I mean, I've always liked going to the desert, to the Judean desert, you know, and it's an interesting feeling, as being from where we're from. We don't experience that, but I know I'm ready to leave after I've seen it for a couple of hours or an overnight. I'm ready to go back to the lushness, you know, the city of the Jerusalem or up to Galilee or something. But so metaphorically, we do experience the desert. And the question is, do you want to stay there? You want to stay in a tent, you know, with the Bedouins, you know, with the sheep in the middle of having nothing? Or do you want to move forward? And that's a decision that's up to us. What kind of a life do I want to live? What kind of a future do I want to have and provide for others as well? Can I be that beacon of hope, that beacon of light? Again, I can't change the world. I can't change the country. I can't change what's going on personally. But maybe I can be, or we can be, a beacon of light, a beacon of hope at home, in the neighborhood, in my friends, making new friends, You know, we have to lift up our heads and be people of joy, because Christmas is coming, and that's what's expected of us.
Bishop, you mentioned thinking of our neighbors, and this may be a good opportunity to remind ourselves of the people that we know who may be alone around this time of year, and they need some company. Maybe we can make an effort to call them or stop by and visit so that they know they're not alone and that we are praying for them.
And I think a perspective on that, again, I don't want to make it more complicated, but in the second letter of St. Peter today, which is read at Mass, you know, we have three readings. We only read the gospel, but it says, do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The perspective, what is our perspective on life? Again, if the desert is so bad and we perpetuate that, it's like one day is like 1,000 years, you know. If we continue it, it gets worse. But in the Lord's eyes, 1,000 years is like one day. And that's where we put our hope, in Him and not in ourselves.
Thank you, Bishop. We will now take a short break, and when we return, we will discuss the Word of Life for December. You're listening to Our Shepherd's View.
Our Shepherd's View. We'll be right back.
Las Posadas in Spanish means the inns or the rooms. It's also a religious festival celebrated in Mexico and many parts of the United States between December 16th and 24th. Las Posadas commemorates the journey that Joseph and Mary made from Nazareth to Bethlehem in search of a safe refuge where Mary could give birth to the baby Jesus. The parishioners of Sacred Heart Parish, 1322 Comanche in Corpus Christi, invite everyone to join them in celebrating Las Posadas on Saturday, December 16th, following the 4:30 p.m. Holy Mass in the grotto at approximately 5:45 p.m. For complete information, call 361-510-1411.
The Diocese Office of Ministry and Life Enrichment invites all persons with disabilities to the Heart of Christmas drive-through Saturday, December 16th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at St. John Paul II High School, 3036 Saratoga Boulevard. Remember, Jesus is the reason for the season, and this event is sponsored by Catholic Charities with special thanks to the Knights of Columbus, Order of Alhambra No. 78, and Sultanas and others. If you're interested in being a vendor for this drive-through, get complete information by calling Celia or Isabel at the Catholic Charities office, 361-884-0651.
Our Shepherd's View continues now, and we will share with you the Word of Life for December. This Word of Life is not taken from the Gospel that we just read. Instead, it is taken from one of the Psalms.
Yeah. And if I could just preface this by saying, you know, the beauty of these sentences of the Gospel that we read, as I mentioned, I think last week, that some of my friends, the Bishop, we were talking about the Word of Life. I do it every week. And the last month was, blessed are those who mourn. And just the situation that we're in, we realize that the reality of mourning stretches way beyond that somebody that's hurt or somebody that's lost a loved one, which is certainly a deep sense of mourning. But we're going through, as a society, as people, a deep sense of pain and mourning, but blessed are those. So I want to again bring that message. It was so beautiful listening to my friends talk about their own experiences being a bishop, but the pain that we see in people and the disappointment that we have, that's a pain that we have to acknowledge and help them to not live in that pain, but to get through it. And the way of Jesus Christ is the way that brings us through this. I just want to bring that out. Now we have a new Word of Life that can help us throughout this month of December. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalm 27. the commentary. Shortly after Mariana's birth, the doctors told us that she had a severe malformation of the brain and that she would never be able to walk or talk, wrote Alba, a young Brazilian mother. My husband and I felt that God was asking us to love her as she was, and we threw ourselves, so to speak, into God's arms, entrusting our future to Him. Mariana lived with us for 4 years and simply left a message of love with everyone she met, Alba continued. We never heard her say the words, Mommy or Daddy, but in her silence, she spoke through the shining light that emanated from her eyes. We could not teach her to take her first steps, but she taught us to take the first step in loving, in giving of ourselves to love. She was a gift of God's love for the whole family. We could summarize all that she was in a single sentence. Love is not always explained just with words. Something similar is happening to each one of us today. When faced with the impossible task of governing our entire existence, we need light, even just a tiny glimmer, to show us the way ahead and the steps to take today toward the salvation of a new life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The ancient prayer found in the book of Psalms tells us that in every corner of the earth and era of human history, people have experienced the darkness of pain, fear, doubt, and loneliness. Furthermore, circumstances have seemed at times like an enemy conspiring to frustrate people's dreams for the future. The author is probably a person falsely accused and abandoned by all while awaiting judgment. Uncertain about the future, this person nevertheless relies on God, who has never forsaken his people during times of trial and tribulation. He knows of God's liberating actions and will find light and secure shelter in Him. Because this person is aware of his fragility, he opens up to God and trusts in Him. Welcoming God's presence in his life, he confidently awaits the final victory prepared by the unimaginable paths of divine love. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? This is an opportune time to rekindle our trust in the love of the Father, who wants the happiness of His children. God is ready to take upon Himself all our worries, so that we are not closed in on ourselves, but free to share our light and our hope with others. As Kara Lubick, the founder of the Focolare, wrote in a gospel commentary in July of 2006, quote, "The word of life guides us on earth from darkness to light, from the I to the we. It is an invitation to revive faith. God exists and loves us. Am I meeting someone? I should believe that through that person, God has something to tell me. Do I have a job to do? This is when I continue to trust in His love. Something makes me suffer. I believe that God loves me. Something fills me with joy. God loves me. He is here with me. He is always with me. He knows something about me and shares my every thought, every joy, every desire. He shares all my worries and every challenge I face in life. How can this faith be revived? By looking for Him among us. He has promised to be there where two or three are gathered in His name. Let us have an attitude of mutual love as described in the gospel when we meet another person who lived the word of life. Let us share our experiences, and we will enjoy the fruits of His presence, joy, peace, light, and courage. He will remain with each one of us, and we will feel Him close to us and at work in our daily lives. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Bishop, as you were sharing the word of life with us, I thought back to what you were saying earlier about our time in the desert and how hope brings us out of the desert. And we are all called to bring hope to others by reaching out, as we mentioned before, calling someone who may be alone and giving of ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And it's been a powerful session today, I think. This Advent, it's a remarkable opportunity for us because we have been thrown into the desert in so many ways. We can all identify how that has happened in our life, and that's that examining ourselves, being aware of ourselves, knowing how did we get into the desert? And I'm not talking, on our own responsibility, what puts us in the desert of life? But for us who are baptized in Christ Jesus, there is so much power in us for good. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit through the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. We're baptized into God. God is light. God is love. God is hope. God is joy. God is peace. And it's in us. But if we choose the desert, it's probably going to get scorched. If we live where there's flowing water, which is the word and the sacraments of the church, this love of God can flow through us. And we deprive others, we deprive the world, if we don't allow that love of God in us to escape and to go forth. And so I think that's really our invitation, at least for me in this session of the gospel for this Sunday and then this word of life. It's what I hear for myself is don't live in the desert. Don't choose the desert. Get out of the desert when it comes or when you put yourself there. Know yourself and be the light and the joy of God for others.
During the break, we were talking about the Holy Land and how you have spent time there, Bishop. And we have the visual of the Sea of Galilee, the River Jordan and the Dead Sea. And you were saying how the River Jordan goes from the Sea of Galilee, freshwater, all the way down to the Dead Sea. So the Dead Sea would be the desert also. So we need to be the Sea of Galilee, as it were, with the freshwater.
Well, yeah, the image is, I think, coming from Mount Hermon or one, but my geography the Sea of Galilee is fresh water teeming with fish and it's beautiful, but it has an open end of receiving water from the fresh snows. It flows out to the Jordan and goes south, but the Dead Sea, where it arrives, it has no outlet. And when it doesn't flow through, then it becomes stale. And so that's the image that we can use, that if the love of God, the joy of God enters us through the word and through the sacraments. It's a flowing water inside us, but it has to go out to others. In other words, if you have a gift, you have to give it away for it to grow. And that's the mystery of God. God's life in us grows when we give it away, when we share it with somebody else. When it becomes privatized, it dies, and we become desertous. I'd rather meet a joyful person than a Dead Sea person, but love them too.
This offers all of us an opportunity to explore the gifts each of us possess and then find ways to share them with others. After all, it is the season when everyone focuses on gift giving, but instead of going out and buying something, we instead have the opportunity to give something more personal or heartfelt of ourselves to someone who may need it.
But they don't have to be big ones either, they're small things. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Bishop, for your insight and reflection on this second Sunday of Advent. If you would please close now with a prayer and a blessing.
Almighty and merciful God, may no earthly undertaking hinder those who set out in haste to meet your Son, but may our learning of heavenly wisdom gain us admittance to his company, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
Tea time is 8 a.m. Monday, December 11th for the Knights of Columbus Golf Tournament benefiting the Robstown Council 3110. The place is River Hills Country Club in the Cal Allen area on River Hill Drive. You may pre-register or you can register at 7 a.m. that day and enjoy breakfast tacos. The shotgun start follows at 8 o'clock. Play will be best ball, four-man scramble. Real golfers know what that means. Lunch will be provided, and there'll be prizes for first through third place teams. Other awards will also be presented, such as longest drive and so forth. For pre-registration or more information, call Renee Gonzalez, 361-443-1794.
Monthly meetings for scouting volunteers to meet, plan for events and retreats, set dates for religious emblem classes, and a day of recollection for Catholic Boy and Girl Scouts take place on the second Wednesday of the month until December 13th. The meeting place is Corpus Christi Cathedral, 505 North Upper Broadway in Corpus Christi. Meeting time is 6:30 to 8 p.m. Committee members are needed, and membership is open to all parents, community members, and troop and PAC leaders. For more information, call Andrea Bell, 361-799-0799.